You're listening to Agriculture Today.
U.S. cattle numbers edging lower at the start of 2026. It's reinforcing that herd rebuilding remains slow and uneven despite improving price incentives. USDA's January 1st cattle inventory report showing modest declines across most categories, with beef cow numbers continuing to contract while milk cows expand. Now, all cattle and calves totaling 86.2 million head on January 1st, down slightly from 86.5 million head a year earlier. Cows and heifers that have calved declined marginally to 37.2 million head. Beef cows fell 1%, 27.6 million, while milk cows up 2%, 9.57 million head. It reflects divergent trends between the beef and dairy sectors. Heifer inventories signal limited momentum toward herd expansion. All heifers weighing 500 pounds and over, totaling 18 million head. And it's still down 1% from a year ago. Beef replacement heifers up 1% to 4.71 million head. But milk replacement heifers slipped slightly to 3.9 million head. Now, other heifers declined 2%, underscoring continued tightness in the replacement pipeline. Market-ready supplies also remain constrained. Steers over 500 pounds declined 1% to 15.6 million head, while calves under 500 pounds dipped slightly, 13.3 million. Total cattle on feed fell 3% to 13.8 million head, and again confirms tighter feedlot inventories entering the new year. Now, the calf crop continues to shrink, and estimated 32.9 million head, down 2% from 2024, with fewer calves born in both the first and second halves of the year. U.S. farm price relationships weakened further at the end of 2025. Prices received by producers declined while costs continued to climb, tightening margins across much of ag. USDA's December ag prices report showing broad pressure on livestock values alongside modest relief in select crop markets. December prices received index falling 3.1% from November and 4.6% from a year earlier. Crop prices mixed, with the crop production index down 2.4% month to month, still 3.4% above December of 2024. Livestock prices drove most of the decline, with the livestock production index dropping 5.7% from November and 13% from a year earlier. Lower prices for cattle, milk, eggs, and lettuce outweighing gains in broilers, corn, grapes, and calves. At the same time, input costs continued to rise. Prices paid index increased 0.3% from November, standing now 8.5% higher than a year earlier. Higher costs for feeder cattle, feeder pigs, nitrogen, and concentrates offset lower fuel, feed, and forage prices. Now, the ratio of prices received to prices paid also slipped to 79. It underscored ongoing margin stress. And this is Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Futures and cash have been affected by some of these other major stories that have been happening in the grain markets the last couple of weeks.
Dan O'Brien, Kansas State grain marketing economist.
Exports on the one hand, especially for ongoing positive export pace for corn, has been strong for a couple months now, in part affected by strong movement of feed grains, corn especially, down to Mexico. You get the screwworm issue. Moving cattle feeding down south of the border is a part of the issue there. So here of late for corn futures, we've seen, of course, that 21-cent drop, 21-plus-cent drop on the day of the last USDA WASDE report, crop production WASDE report. March futures dropped from about $4.50 down to $4.20, thereabouts. The next day a little bit lower, but since then, really surprisingly, have been pretty steadily moving to the higher side. So that's been a positive. And you do see, I guess, the measures of momentum in corn futures, at least up to 50% now. They have to digest that 21-cent drop that really, really nailed them. But the relative strength indexes, the RSIs, are now back to even. So that's kind of a victory, I guess. Of course, there's not a corn grain sorghum contract at this time anyway, but we have seen sorghum prices in some selected area respond. Grain sorghum, interesting to watch. Of course, with improved movement in grain sorghum exports, which for the week ending January 22nd, we had over 10 million bushels of grain sorghum exports. And that's following on the heels of China coming back into that market last few weeks, both shipments and total outstanding sales coming in now at 131 million bushels, up tangibly, markedly from about a month ago. Again, China coming in, supplying most of that, and actually having commitments with the United States to buy about 200 million. So USDA has stuck doggedly to their 225 million bushel export figure for this marketing year ending August 31st for grain sorghum, and they must have had this in mind because other countries don't have really the need or the capacity to buy that China does. So China's back in the market, and kind of a renewal of a good sorghum pace. When you look at soybean market, that's also been a big story, that China coming back and fulfilling their promise to the United States to purchase 12 million metric tons by a certain date. In February is my understanding for the marketing year, for this marketing year from 26, 27, 28, they've made commitments to buy about 25 million metric tons per year. That's a little less than they had before. They're averaging about 29, but still to have them back in these markets at all is a positive. So you look at on the soybean side, it's affected the futures. We had some drop on that January 12th report. It got down to about 1040. Now it's gotten up to over 1080, closed yesterday at 1072. So, again, 25, 30 cents benefit. I did not mention something I should have for grain sorghum. Here in southeast Kansas, you've got one or two elevators, terminals really standing out, having the type of bid that you have to go back and double check, something closer to 440 to 450 for a grain sorghum, to, a very aggressive bid. So interesting to watch. So I guess you stand back and look at those markets, look at those bids, and for corn, for sorghum, and for soybeans, and see some positive there.
It's Agriculture Today.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever, because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
with Agriculture Today. Here's Tony St. James.
One of the ways we do that is our podcast. So we have a podcast called Behind the Burger, and we interview ranchers in New Mexico. And anytime we can get the story out.
Carol Ann Romo, Executive Director, New Mexico Beef Council.
I'm really proud of that podcast, just on organic reach, not paid reach. We're reaching other states and even other countries, right? And so the goal is really New Mexicans. We want to reach New Mexicans, but we also want to reach Americans. And if we can go, you know, beyond our borders, that's even great too. We want to tell people about the American rancher and the New Mexican rancher and the history that's here. And, you know, we kind of love to say that New Mexico is the Wild West. And we were the Wild West and we are the Wild West. And so there's a lot of cowboy stories and ranching stories and parts of our country and our state that were built on the backs of ranchers and built because of the beef industry, whether it's, you know, the Goodnight Loving Trail or Butterfield Stagecoach, where there's, you know, restaurants now and all these things that we're really proud to kind of tell the story of New Mexico. So I guess no matter the reason, if you're interested in New Mexico, we're happy you're listening.
Dr. Mark Johnson, Oklahoma State Beef Breeding Specialist.
If we take a look at the recent Cattlemen's Congress, over $14 million worth of cattle were sold at various sales that occurred during that event. That included the National Angus Bull Sale. 28 head of bulls sold for an average of over $22,000 to commercial and seed stock breeders. That total also includes a commercial female sale where young pairs were bringing over $5,300 on average. Three-year-old spring calving bred cows were bringing over $4,500, bred heifers over $4,300, and even open replacement females selling at an average of over $3,200. Last week on Northern Video, we saw 200 head of commercial Angus heifers with a genetic merit scorecard weighing 810 pounds, selling for 411 a hundredweight to gross back over $3,300 apiece. USDA market reports indicate calves, feeder cattle, fed cattle, and box beef are all steady to rising in price, and cattle markets remain very resilient, and trade is vigorous, and demand is good. As we look at those box beef and fed cattle prices, it's encouraging to see that they're holding steady, firming up. We've got less packing capacity, but even with that, with reduced supply, we remain in a good situation there. With regard to the price of beef at retail, and specifically that question, is there a point of consumer resistance to price? We take a look at certain things historically that I'll share with you this morning. First of all, consumer demand remains outstanding for beef. We have more high quality beef on the market than ever before. And it continues to offer a consistently satisfying eating experience, which is driving consumer demand. Since 1980, the price of beef at retail is up 355%. In a time of escalating prices, how does that compare to some other popular products? Well, if we compare that to diesel fuel over the past 45 years, the price of diesel has risen 391%. Coca-Cola is up about 535% in price over the last 45 years. A bag of Doritos is five times the price it was in 1980, about 500% increase in price. And how about a John Deere tractor? Since 1980, the price of a John Deere tractor is almost 1,200% higher than it was 45 years ago.
It's Agriculture Today.
When it comes to ag chemical application, make sure your equipment delivers. For years, growers and custom commercial applicators alike have depended on Wiley sprayers and Case IH application equipment from Wiley Implement and Spray Center. Wiley offers new and used self-propelled sprayers, as well as our own line of pull-type sprayers for any size operation. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Here for the week ending January 22nd at a pace of about 5.8.5 million bushels purchased. We need a pace of about 5.4 to meet the USDA's projection. So that's all positive news.
Kansas State grain marketing economist Dan O'Brien.
We've been seeing that type of performance in a fairly consistent manner for hard red winter wheat for several months now. And we don't see just fabulous cash prices, but we do see some pretty good movement. Best prices listed yesterday, which would be the 29th for hard red winter, saw them in the areas that we watch about 517 in Salina area, 512 Topeka, and 507 Hutchinson. Other areas more like 450, 460. So interesting to watch. And for wheat prices, we've seen the futures market for wheat also not just be completely in the doldrums, have moved from a low in December of about $5, closed yesterday at 547. So, you know, these, I guess, as you and I look at these markets every week, we were in very much a doldrum type of a situation, November, December, early January, not wondering what would come through. And now we're at the place where, hey, we've got some usage holding on. Reports for ethanol, at least the last ones that I've seen, we've had some pretty strong weeks of late, and no real major problems there. So much, of course, with that, depending on the strength of the U.S. economy, the need for ethanol in motor fuel. But anyway, so overall, we have some news now, and I think it's fair to ask the question, the time we have left, well, where do we go now? Where does this take us? I wouldn't be surprised with the, I've read some reports, I would agree with them, that on the soybean side now, that China has met their first goal. Will they turn now to Brazil for a while with that crop coming on and still keep their hand in to buy bargains out of the U.S.? Because they still have the rest of this commitment. So that would probably be what we'd wonder about. Again, now that they've hit their 12 million metric ton goal, and you know, that provides support on the futures periodically, as we've seen. You see some good basis bids by location. So hopefully that'll come into play and provide some steady support. On the grain sorghum side, we're partway to that 200 million bushel commitment that China had. I would wonder just how quick we'll keep moving on. It does seem that in these 3 weeks that China's come in aggressively to buy. Will they continue that all the way to their goal, or will they piecemeal their way through once they get closer? We shall see. On the wheat side, you know, wheat is just standing in there being competitive with what's going on around the world. No special buying programs coming into play that could affect that. So right now we have an appetite for hard red winter wheat around the world, and U.S. prices are attractive. And so it's a great thing to move some wheat and be ready for have room for the next go around. And then for corn, the pace has been ongoing, strong. Again, we've got this special situation that's happening between Mexico and the United States. And as long as that keeps up, well, I guess it's a good time to have some positive news on the usage side for corn, given the 17 billion bushel corn crop that we're trying to absorb and hopefully not show any negative repercussions, consequences on the corn market just from overwhelming supplies that we're trying to work through. So far, here in January, we're showing some pretty good positive movement, but not just falling off completely. Interesting that the seasonal trends right now are really pretty flat. And if anything, what's happened the last 3 weeks, we're better than that. So it sure bears watching.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
My first agriculture job was at Rabo AgriFinance, and I got to be there for almost a decade, and that was a great experience, and then headed over to New Mexico Beef Council.
Carol Ann Romo is Executive Director, New Mexico Beef Council.
A lot of my past, whether it be creating videos for a niche team roping website or promoting a restaurant that served beef, and then now, and then with Rabo AgriFinance, with working for ranchers, now I get to promote beef and represent the ranching industry to consumers. So it's been a great journey, but.
Talks about investing into the next generation of producers.
I was just talking to the organizers of the ranch management camp that's put on by New Mexico State University Extension. I think I'm saying that correct. Tom can correct me later. But we support that ranch management camp. That's a great event. I think it's targeted at high school students. Last year we attended and I got to speak to the students, and there were students from all over the U.S. and from, there was a big group from Mexico too. So that was really cool, reaching international producers and teaching the next generation. And they go through, you know, your stocking rate, and they go through, by the end, the kids know more about a stocking rate than I do. And I just think that's a really great program. And then there's also the Dairy Consortium for College Students that we support. And that is put on through a conglomerate of schools. And I believe NMSU is one of the lead ones. It happens in Clovis, and it's the U.S. Dairy Education Training Consortium. And there's a website. You have to apply, but those students are university students and kind of the cream of the crop, right? And they want to work in the dairy industry, and they get hands-on. They're on a dairy almost every day for, I think it's 2 months, maybe. I think it's maybe 30 to 60 days. And that is a great program. It counts for college credit. And so, yeah, the Ranch Management Camp and the Dairy Consortium, getting students, high school and college students, access to beef and cattle knowledge is something we're really proud of.
And what does beef and a hot air balloon have in common?
So we purchased, the New Mexico Beef Council purchased a hot air balloon, and we ordered it almost a year ago exactly, and it took a few months to get to us, and we launched it for the first time at the Albuquerque International Balloon Fiesta. It is the largest event in New Mexico. It's a huge international and national event. Balloonists come from all over the world, and balloon fans come from all over the world. And it was quite the experience, and we're really excited. One of the best things, if we're talking checkoff, we're talking frugality, it is an asset. So it's one of the few advertising tools that is an asset. And they say they can last up to 20 years, even possibly more. And so that asset will hold value. And I like to say that it belongs to the ranchers of New Mexico. It has the big Beef It's What's for Dinner brand, which is the national brand managed by NCBA, National Cattle and Beef Association, that we get to extend in states. And it has become a beacon of beef. So we're pretty excited about that. And it will go to Cattle Convention in Nashville this year, and other ballooning events. You can find us at Albuquerque International Balloon Fiesta the second week of October. But we're really proud of that, a very unique form of advertising. And again, the first advertising format that has a asset that could last 20 years. That's something that I'm impressed by and excited by as a marketer, that we get to keep that. And we're really proud of it and really excited.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Let's talk about the possibility of another farm bill. House Agriculture Committee Chairman Glenn Thompson of Pennsylvania told his Republican colleagues he hopes to mark up a farm bill the week of February 23rd. The five-year blueprint is expected to be similar to the bill approved in May 2024 by the committee during the 118th Congress. The measure, which was never considered by the Senate, included a fix to California's Proposition 12, which bans in that state the sale of pork from hogs born to sows raised in housing that fails to meet California standards, a major NPPC priority, understandably so. Thompson said he's aiming for a vote by the entire House before Congress takes a two-week-plus break around Easter. Of course, a new farm bill has not been approved since 2018. That one expired September 30th, 2023, and has been extended several times. NPPC and a nearly 1,000-strong agriculture coalition want a farm bill fix to the impending patchwork of conflicting state laws spurred by Prop 12, which took effect January 1 of 2024. The California law has increased pork operating costs, creating uncertainty for business owners, and increasing pork prices for consumers. Interestingly enough, a recent study found that many farms against fixing Prop 12 are not affected by the law and are not actually involved in pork production. Notwithstanding the long-awaited Prop 12 fix, NPPC secured all its remaining farm bill asks in the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, which was signed into law last year. Also, the Senate Committee on Agriculture could see a change in leadership in the next Congress, which begins in early January 2027, if current ranking member Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota wins the race for the governorship of her state. She recently announced her candidacy for the state's top executive job. The primary election is August 11th, and the general election, of course, is November 3rd. Her victory would require Senate Democrats to pick a new leader for their party on the ag panel. If Klobuchar happens to lose either the primary or general election, though, she would retain her Senate seat and leadership role on the committee. Currently, next in line for the Agriculture Committee's ranking member position, or chairman should Democrats take control of the Senate after the November election, is Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey. I would be excited and privileged to be the chair of one of the most important committees to Americans and American farmers and the American food system, said Booker, a vegan, in an interview with the media outlet AgriPulse. Of course, in the past, Booker has criticized U.S. animal agriculture, for example, sponsoring legislation to restrict the use of concentrated animal feeding operations and transition to higher welfare certified farms and alternative crop production. Some potentially good news on the trade front. A provision included in a funding bill introduced in the U.S. House and expected to be approved by both chambers of Congress would extend the African Growth and Opportunity Act for 1 year. It would also renew the Haiti Economic Lift Program. AGOA gives sub-Saharan African nations duty-free access for their goods exported to the U.S. in exchange for reasonable and equitable treatment of U.S. imports. Chad Smith, Washington.
You're listening to Agribusiness News, Markets, and Weather on Agriculture Today.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever. Because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.